Good morning, everyone. So good to see you this morning. Two longtime golfing buddies got to the course and decided to make a rule together that no matter what happened, they would play the ball where it lies. And on the 14th hole, one of them sliced his ball a bit and it ended up right in the middle of the concrete cart path. And as they got to the position, he reached down to pick up his ball and move it off the cart path. And the friend said, "Wait a minute, we made a rule. We would play it where it lies." And the first player tried to explain, "Well, that's true, but the rules of the game say that if it falls on the cart path, you can move it off the cart path." But the second player stuck to his rule and would not allow it. Throwing up his hands in disgust, the first man went to the cart, grabbed a club, and as he stood over the ball, he took a few practice swings, each time sparks flying off the concrete. And finally, he approached the ball and took his shot, again, sparks flying off the concrete. The ball went straight for the green and wound up just a couple of inches away from the hole. "Great shot," said the second guy. "What club do you use?" "Your 7-iron." Sometimes even our own rules are uncomfortable or difficult to live by at times. Today we have some scripture that come around to us about every year, and it's important scripture. It's familiar scripture, and it is indeed life-changing scripture. Last week we talked a bit about the law. We talked about how God gave those laws as parameters to help people in their relationship with one another. But we have to choose to follow him, to be in that relationship with him. God didn't make robots. He made people, unique people, with a free will and an ability to reason like no other creature. If we really believe that God has his hand on the work that we do, it is best that we be patient and listen to him instead of being impatient and trying to manipulate the outcome to go our way. And that is what happens here with the Hebrews as God brings them out of the captivity and they have been in for so long. Here's this wonderful miracle of freedom that God has given them. However, along the journey and in their impatience, they grumbled. "We need bread. We need water. We detest the food that we have." And sad thing is, God provided all those things, water, manna, the quail. God knew where they needed to go, and he knew how to get them there. He provided every need along the way. It wasn't the final destination, but he was getting them there. But you see, the people in their impatience had taken their eyes off of the provider. As I was preparing this message, I had a flashback to my childhood and the family trips when we go on vacations or a weekend trip to the beach. For us, it was about a 2.5-hour trip from Central Florida, Winter Haven, to Coquina Beach on Anna Maria Island. But it would be about 30 minutes into the trip along down the road, and my brother and I would start asking, "How much longer?" If he got tired of the question, we would turn to our mom, "How much longer, Mom?" And after that, things start flying to the back of the station wagon to keep us quiet. You see, we were so excited about getting to the beach, we took our eyes off of Mom and Dad, who wanted to bless us by taking us to the beach that day. Those who were set free from Egypt lost sight of God. They wanted the promised milk and honey right now. So they grumbled. So God does something a little harsher to get their attention. And I don't mean to trivialize this, but God sort of threw some snakes in the back of the station wagon. The people come to Moses. Moses takes it to God, and Moses is told to lift a bronze snake up on the pole for the people to see. And as Moses raises that staff with the bronze serpent, something happened. This is not magic. This isn't idol worship. This is asking the people to put their faith on the and focus on the one who has taken them there, that is God. God is saying, don't look at the land of the milk and honey as the goal. Look at the one who is providing for you. I want a relationship with you, and out of that relationship will come what I want to bless you with, that land and milk of honey. God is saying, remember me. Now they have a decision, a choice to make. Who are you going to follow? And that is exactly why Jesus chose this Old Testament lesson as an example. Jesus is having a conversation late in the evening with Nicodemus. We all know the story. Nicodemus has questions about the teachings of Jesus. His own heart is troubled, and he wants to know more about what Jesus has been saying and doing. It's the same curiosity that all of us have had in regarding Jesus before we come to Christ. At least it was for me. We hear the message out there. We've attended church a few times. We ask ourselves, is it real? Some might think, well, if there is a God and Jesus is God in the flesh, I certainly want to know about it now before or later, rather than later. So Jesus and Nicodemus have this dialogue about being born again and what that means. And Jesus tells Nicodemus, he says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. In other words, when we look at the cross, it represents something. We don't worship the cross. When we bow in reference to the cross as it passes, it's not the cross per se that we bow to. It is the acknowledgement to Jesus Christ that we remember. I remember your sacrifice. I remember your death on that cross. And I remember that you are no longer on that cross. It is our submission to his sacrifice. Our acknowledgement is the fact that Jesus was raised up on that cross. And through his death, he took our sins upon him. And for those who believe and receive that, we have an atonement for our sins through Jesus Christ's death on the cross. We accept by faith what Jesus has done for us on that cross. In other words, in order to step into eternity with God, whose desire is for us to spend eternity with him, it's the ultimate land of milk and honey. There has to be a relationship with the one who will take us there. And whether we like it or not, or accept it or not, God said, not me, God said there is only one way to get there through the journey that we are on. And to get there, Jesus spoke the most quoted verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. No other verse has been repeated so many times. The reason, at least for me, is obvious. Look at what God gave us, and look at what God is offering us. He gave us creation, life in a place that is beautiful and in its original state, perfect. He gave us life to live in a creation that he made. He gave us the freedom to love him and worship him and to be in communion with him. He loved the world so much that when we messed up, he gave us the prophets. He gave us the words that are timeless through the ages in Holy Scripture. He gave everything that he has ever promised. And all that leads to this, giving us himself, who for a brief time stepped down out of heaven and became a sin offering for us. That is the ultimate sacrifice. No other faith on earth can offer that. And all those journeys through the Old Testament, all those times that God was trying to keep people's attention on him, on his provision, on his guidance, on his love, led to this one thing: to provide a way back. In the midst of all that God created, the most precious thing he created was the human race. And he wants so much for his created people to return to him. But here's where a lot of people get confused. Many look at Jesus and think that the only thing he did was to bring judgment. But listen to what Jesus tells Nicodemus. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. You see, the world, that is those walking in darkness, searches for happiness somewhere. I know I did before I gave my life to Christ. They try to find it in the darkest of places on their own. It's like they are looking for the milk and honey that only God can provide, but they want it under their own conditions. It would be like me on that trip to the beach, and my dad stops for gas. I jump out of the station wagon and say, okay, I can get there myself. So I jump out and start walking, and then I realize I've left the shelter of the car. I left the protection of my mom and my dad. I don't have a map. I might know where west is, but the particular destination is gone. I can't get there from here. And the reality is, I will never truly reach the intended goal to be in that relationship I had with my parents. But fortunately, I didn't jump out of that car because I loved and trusted my dad to get me there, even in my impatience. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Darkness brings death. Light brings life. Now you may be saying, Chuck, I know all of this. I accepted Christ into my life and I'm born again. I say, praise God for that. And I mean that. Some of you may actually be saying, I really need what Nicodemus was looking for. I say, praise God for that as well. You recognize the need for God in your life, and it's yours if you ask him. And here's my point. There are thousands around us outside these walls who are asking and seeking the same answers. Is it real? Somewhere along the line, I jumped out of the station wagon and I need to get back in. So here is what I want to share with you as I close. There's a statistic that's shown that most people have only about 5 significant encounters in which the message of the gospel really reaches the heart. The point is that every single human life on this planet has a story happening within that life right now. And everyone's story involves multiple encounters and experiences that will either drive people closer to Christ or keep them away. Paul reminds us that we have all been there at some point. We have all been in the darkness one way or another. Throughout the season of Lent, we have been singing a version of the Kyrie that we sang this morning. The whole song is powerful, but there's one verse that really sticks out for me regarding this. And it goes like this. Look around you. Can you see? Times are troubled. People grieve. In other words, we see what's going on around us. We see the hurt. We see the pain, and the many of us have actually gone through it. But the song also is calling us to do something. Walk among them. I'll go with you. Reach out to them with my hands. Suffer with me, and together we will serve them. Help them stand. Jesus never compromised who he was, but he was always among the people, walking among them, bringing hope. He calls us to do the same, but with this promise, I will be with you. In our Seek God for the City prayer guide that we've been using, many of us have been using, This coming week, we are encouraged to just go out and pray as we walk around the city. I got inspired and decided to walk the mall yesterday. With no specific purpose, the UTC Mall, with no specific purpose but to pray. If God opened a door for me to share with somebody or have an encounter, that's great, so be it. But the original intention is just to go and as we sing, to be among them, and the Lord promising to be with us. By his Spirit, he will be with you. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. So I walked around the mall. And the neat thing about it is as you look at people, it's more easier to, you know, we could pray from anywhere, obviously. But when you're looking at people, you can very, you know, see their eyes. You know, instead of walking with your feet down, I was walking, looking at people. You know, I saw a woman who was about 9 months pregnant, pushing a 2-year-old in a carriage, and I started praying for her. She didn't know that. I walked up to a bunch of Mennonite girls who were in a huddle and just said, God bless you all. You know, and just whatever the Lord put on my heart as I was praying. A side benefit of that, you know, if you walk from Macy's to Dillard's and back to Macy's, that's a half mile. I did that 4 times. So I walked 2 miles yesterday in the mall as I was praying. So I got some exercise out of it as well. But his Spirit is always with us as we open ourselves to him. Folks, if you know Christ, if he is Lord of your life, if you are choosing to follow him no matter what, if it is important that we pray, I cannot express enough of the importance that prayer plays in our walk with Christ. I know times when I get sloppy in prayer, life gets sloppy as well. And when you are seeking after him, ask him this, Lord, how can I be a part of someone's story today? Lord, help me to make a difference in someone's life today. Lord, use me in bringing your story into someone else's life. You cannot expect to follow his direction if you're not actively talking and listening to him. A life without prayer can lead to impatience, just like those people in the desert. Let us call on the Lord. Let us seek him with all of our hearts. Let us be patient as we wait for his direction in our lives. Stay in that station wagon, so to speak, with Abba, Father, Daddy. Let us seek how our story can become a part of someone's story. Look for the open door. Look for the open doors. Know that he is with you. Know that he cares for you. If you don't know him as Lord and Savior, ask him into your heart today. He's here. He wants to know you. Just open your heart and ask him in. For God really does love you so much that he gave his Son that you might have life and have it more abundantly. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your life-giving Spirit that covers us, encourages us, guides us through this life. And Father, there's so many people out there who want to know that and don't know how to receive it. Father, I ask that you would continue to use us as a parish, use us as individuals, as you direct us into this community around us. Father, I pray that you would raise people up all over this community that have a heart to bring your story into their story. Father, I pray for churches all over this community. It doesn't matter what denomination they are. It doesn't matter. We are all Christians, Lord God, if we've asked you into our lives and we are following you and anointed by your Spirit to do the work that you have given us to do. So, Father, anoint us with your Spirit. Use us, we pray, Lord God, as a body of Christ in this community to bring forth the good news that you have for everybody. And we thank you, Father, and we give you praise. We give you thanks for what you want to do through each and every person here. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.